Cliffcentral. The revolution.
I've got something important to tell you.
Cliffcentral.com. Future CEOs on Cliffcentral.com.
Welcome to Future CEOs. Luby, this is not your first time in the new studio, but welcome to the our revamped studio, and it's great to be with you again.
It seems like forever I have missed the show, but obviously I am the heartbeat and the feet of the show when we're outside studio. But I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to amplify, you know, my favorite, and catalyze and advocate entrepreneurship in Africa.
It's so good to hear you say that again. All right, guys, welcome to the show. My name is Gareth Armstrong, that lovely lady that you just heard, Luby Mboya Arnold. And what do we do every week? Well, if you can answer the question, yes, you're a future CEO, what does that really mean? You're sitting in a corner office and you want that, or rather you want the corner office, you're sitting in a cubicle somewhere, or perhaps you're starting your own business and you want to grow it. Well, then this is the show for you. We bring in how do I describe our guests? I mean, many of them are just phenomenons, enigmas,
inspiring, business enigmas, game changers, innovators.
Are we describing you?
Yes, we are.
I see a smile on your face. Wally, welcome to the studio. We'll introduce you in a moment, but when you hear game changer, enigma, business enigma, is this you?
Innovative as well.
I know you are. I'm so excited to have our guest on the show. You know what, when I was reading his profile, it takes a lot to intimidate me. It takes a lot to intimidate us, Gareth.
Yep, yep.
But this man here is really a hard worker, highly educated, and really passionate about what he does. And is constantly wanting to upscale and grow and pivot his business. I hope I'm right when I say this.
Yeah.
So we're very excited to have you in studio.
Well, thank you. Please introduce yourself to our Future CEOs listeners. And just give a little bit of background, where you're from, what you did, some of the educational things that you've been exposed to.
Mm.
And then we'll talk a little bit about your business, which is, and you're going to have to help me with the pronunciation,
Zastra. Got it. I love that name.
Com, yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool.
So let's start in the beginning. Who are you? Where are you from? Please.
Okay. So my name is Adewale Adejumo. I was born and raised in Nigeria and moved to South Africa when I was 12.
Okay.
And yeah, so primary school, high school, varsity was all in South Africa. And studied at UKZN, genetics, plant pathology, the education.
All of that stuff.
And then, ultimately ended up in the e-commerce and tech space. Yeah.
But when you say all of that stuff, let's not diminish what all of that stuff is. There's only a handful of people, probably in South Africa and most likely in the world, that know what you know.
Correct.
Which is then really quite an interesting story, because you moved from this really what is genetics
and
a laboratory
plant,
to the e-commerce space. Mm. When was that transition, and talk us through that transition? Why did you make that decision?
Okay, so for my undergrad, I studied genetics, and in my postgrad, honors, masters, did more plant pathology degrees, right?
What did you want to do with that? I mean,
I actually wanted to start my own company that's more into seed production.
Okay.
So I wanted to own a seed production company, and that's why I actually went and studied further plant pathology. But in December 2020,
Monsanto, is that is that the right name?
Yes.
Those are the guys that catch so much heat. So you wanted to become
I wanted to become more like a Monsanto.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes.
Guys,
we know.
Okay. So then in 2012, right? Or was it 2011 December, I was actually having a conversation with a friend of mine who was also in science as well. He was doing masters in agriculture engineering. And we both had a long discussion about how we wanted to make money faster.
Correct.
Okay.
And not wait till we were like 40 or 50 to actually have a successful production company.
Mm.
Then we decided the following year that we were going to enroll ourselves into a finance, banking and investment postgrad diploma while we were doing our masters in science.
Wow.
So then we did in 2012. And then from there, I learned so much. And he also learned quite a lot as well. And then I think that was around the time as well where I started buying stuff from overseas and then selling them online marketplaces. And I saw how quickly I could actually grow my revenue from just buying and selling, and I am like M plus I had the research, the research skills as well from a science background to actually know how to find the right stuff and how to actually find, you know, like find what people are looking for online to actually sell to them online. And then
so where did the Zastra brand then come from?
Zastra branding came from back in actually it's a funny story. So back in high school, I used to be an athlete, right? Back in high school, and I entered a race with a friend of mine where we both decided to choose nicknames. And he chose Zastra.
Okay. Oh, really?
Yeah. He just made it up out of nowhere.
Very cool.
Even gave it a surname as well. And then he beat me in that race. So that was the only race he ever beat me in. So that name just kind of stuck in my mind. And that's where the name actually did come from.
All right. So Zastra is the only person that's ever beaten you. And so Zastra's not beating you. You're doing quite well. Yeah. Let's talk about the origin story there. As you just described, you were buying and selling things. Suddenly you realized the potential of a digital marketplace versus just a localized store or something that is geographically bound. Mm. When did it then suddenly turn into a real business for you? Let's talk about that journey.
Okay. So how everything pretty much started with my first sale was something more like this. So I had 1,200 rand in my bank account as a student, and I was thinking, you know, let me get myself a new monitor so I can play games, or I could either sell, or I could either, you know, multiply that and actually still have 1,002 and have a monitor. Mm-hmm. So then I took that 1,002, went and bought a tablet in China online, and then when it got to me in South Africa, I sold them online, doubled my cash, and I'm like, okay. I can do this again. And I did it again and did it again. Mm-hmm. And from December 2011 to December 2012, my bank account, I made a revenue or turnover of like 300,000 rands.
Oh, wow.
Okay,
so what marketplace were you using? So was it almost an eBay type model?
It was almost an eBay type model. Okay. It's our local biggest online marketplace.
Yeah.
You know, you guys know which one I'm talking about.
Which one?
Meetabuy.
Is it Meetabuy?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I've interviewed the CEO of one of them, so I didn't want to speak out of turn, but okay, Meetabuy.
Okay, so... Yeah, so that's where everything pretty much started. And then I think after 2 years of actually doing that, I then realized that, you know, that there was actually a ceiling that you could actually reach, and there's limitations. There were things that I wanted to do that weren't yet available on marketplaces.
Wow.
So then I decided I think it was time for me to start my own online store. Plus, I had so much inventory then.
It seems like you've grown, just to stratospheric heights in a very short space of time. What is holding a lot of young business future CEOs, people out there, from just concentrating their growth in the way that you have? I mean, it sounds like what you've been doing and the growth that you've had not necessarily has happened quickly, but you've kind of adapted and worked on the have-nots and where you want to be. Can you answer that for us? Because I feel that there's a lot lacking in what we have now and where we want to be, and you've just closed the gap very quickly.
Okay, so that's very simple. Okay, it took me a while to actually learn that this is how I've been doing this for quite some time, but for me, I think it's always because I'm always just aiming for progress, and that's my motto now, you know, like aiming for progress, not perfection. So I didn't first try and register a company.
Yeah,
or I didn't first try to
ways.
Exactly. First try to find funders. I've never had funders. Well, I wasn't even looking for funders.
Fantastic.
Okay, I wasn't trying to raise capital or like all those things. I just
business plan.
No,
all of that,
no.
All
it's just
of that
I had
stuff.
My idea, and I wasn't waiting for the stars to line up, you know, to the moon and everything, for everything to be perfect. Just I had an idea. I knew what I wanted to do, and I just started and started doing it, and that's just how I've just grown progressively over the years.
Well, you spoke about it. You said that you've been able to research and understand what the consumer wants, and you've been looking for products from your consumer. There was a quote that we put up on social media a few days ago, a week ago perhaps, and it was Seth Godin saying, don't try and find customers for your products, find products for your customers.
Exactly.
And that's what I hear you saying. You built a marketplace. You didn't
Correct.
Build a business. You built a marketplace first, and then you had to, of course, formalize at some point. But that's what I'm hearing come out here.
Okay. So the online store actually started first, and then we then converted it into a marketplace because we also reached a ceiling as well with no capital injection. So we had to find new ways to expand our inventory, to expand our customer base as well. And obviously, you know, apart from the digital marketing side of the business, okay, in order to be able to get more customers, you need more product. People need to be able to know that this is where they come to for anything. Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's why we then converted more into a marketplace.
Okay.
So I came from a marketplace, started an online store, and then now turn the online store now into a marketplace / online store.
Were you, what's the right word? I think the kind of people that I would associate you with, and forgive me if you find this word derogatory, but were you a bit of a hustler when you were younger? So and in my mind, what a hustler is, there's a negative side to it, of course, but in this context, it's someone that can take something and meet it, or rather take a need and meet it with something. Were you always like that? Were you always able to connect dots?
I wasn't much of a hustler when I was younger in terms of selling stuff, but I was very disciplined, you know, in my sport.
Okay.
I didn't like losing, so I trained really, really hard. I trained really, really, really hard. And I only became more of a business self, like hustler, in my final years of doing my master's, when it was either you go and get a job when you're done with your master's, or you have something solid, you know, so you don't have to actually go look for a job. Okay, so I did try to sell a couple of people remote controls for PlayStations and tablets from the boot of my car.
Yeah, love
okay,
those
so you did do that.
I did do
stories.
That.
Love
I did do
stories.
That. Yeah, yeah.
But the discipline thing comes out strongly. Hlubi, you know about discipline. You were just on the cover of a magazine for a fitness magazine.
I'm a fitness freak as well. So, I mean, that is very much a part
But it's a discipline thing.
It's a discipline thing and a commitment thing and a perseverance thing. But your education, for me, I have to go back to it. It really blows my mind. And we constantly ask future CEOs that are coming to our studio, skills or connection to be a leader, skills or connections just to be successful in your own marketplace, in your own business. What's your thoughts? Skills or connections?
You need both. You need skills. Skills will initially get you to where you need to be for you to actually be able to utilize your connections, because no one's going to really want to really support you or like invest in you if you don't show that, like,
the
if you don't have
side of things.
Exactly. Okay. And I think what also forms skills as well is, you know, like, is like, what's the right word? Your personality, the type of person that you are. You know, people that are always constantly seeking to actually self-improve themselves.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I think that's also a skill as well.
Yes.
Because not a lot of people are like that.
Yes.
So that's
upskilling.
I like the idea that attributes can be skills. I think that's what I'm hearing you say here. You can develop attributes almost as if they are skills.
Yes, that's true. Yeah.
Gareth, what else? This is such a nice conversation. I love this conversation. I'm so riveted.
Well, I think that you've found relative success. And I say relative success not to diminish the success that you want, but I know that you'll want more.
Of course.
Especially
of course.
Of course.
So you found relative success. There are going to be some things that you have gone through along the way.
Nice one,
which
Gareth.
are negative. Maybe they are, but in the long run, maybe positive. So some struggles that you've had, but then also some lessons that have come as a result of that. Can you tell us a story or two?
Okay. Whew. Okay, when it comes to my struggles that I've had.
A hard lesson learned.
Hard lesson learned. Okay. One lesson that I've had, I'm trying to think.
In business.
Okay, so I think from my side, one of the worst things that's actually happened when it comes to when it comes to me in business, mm-hmm. is you can never get too complacent. Mm-hmm. And you can never get too comfortable.
So that means at some point you got complacent and you got comfortable.
I would say so. Yes and no. Yes, actually, actually, I think more last year we actually did get complacent, where we were just, where we had an online store and we were growing and we were just growing and just doing things like, you know, like we always did things, until we got hit with economical issues as well, and with some problems when it came to our goods coming into the country. So pretty much for about 3 months, we didn't have goods coming into.
Oh wow!
Yeah, you know, yeah, coming to the country, and we still had to pretty much pay off salaries and rent and
so demand but no supply.
Demand but no supply, and I think, what that basically did to me, is it allowed me to actually start finding new ways to, to actually grow the business and build the business, introducing new features into the business. So that's actually one of what sparked our marketplace idea. Okay. And also forced us to actually start now seeking more partnerships and seeking new ways to actually, generate revenue for the business. And that's what's taking us to now change the business from more of an e-commerce, strictly e-commerce model, to now entering into the tech e-commerce space as well. Yeah. So I would say the lesson that I learned from that little experience is
complacency.
That word. Okay. It's a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
And I can tell you, from what I see, there are some companies that I know that are becoming quite complacent in South Africa. And yeah, only time will tell.
It's easy to become complacent though, Libya. I mean, you just, it's just this ticking
the
over.
The status quo.
Yeah, the line keeps on going up at a steady rate. I mean,
sometimes you just need, you know, the socks to be shooken out of you, like I did to you today.
Oh yeah, yeah. Yes,
you know, come on, we're future CEOs, damn it. Partnerships. The power, the blessing, the need for partnerships for you and for any business person. Educate us.
Okay. So without partnerships, most businesses are bound to actually fail. So it's either you have all the capital in the world and you can just buy off businesses, or you partner with them, because every time you partner, you know, like with someone, you actually like
collaboration.
That's exactly collaboration. You're not just
love that.
You're not giving them. You're giving away your customers. You're actually acquiring, you know, by sharing as well. So you're sharing a little bit of yourself, but you're actually making yourself grow and making yourself bigger. So I think partnerships is vital for any business to actually, you know, like expand and grow.
I think there are multiple forms of partnerships as well, of course. So there are going to be those where you can collaborate, and there are also going to be those where it's just strictly an exchange of value, which is away from a collaborative kind of effort. But there always has to be something in it for them. And the question is not always what is in it for me, it's what value can I create for them. And I think if you can position yourself in that way, then the world will be your oyster, certainly from a partnership perspective. Have you found that happening with you when you have these conversations?
Yes. So in South Africa, what we do is a lot of collaboration. So even when we're bringing people onto a marketplace, right, we see it more as a collaboration more than anything. Okay. So from my side, that's more of a collaboration. Okay. For me, partnerships are, for example, very recently we entered into a partnership with a company with a tech company from Dubai, right? Okay. The CEO of the company used to be a chief technician on eBay.
Okay.
They basically up eBay design their search and their pay per clicks. So after talking to this guy, right, I realized that, well, crap, we can't afford their services. So from their side, they also want to actually work with us. So we entered into a partnership where we basically would take 50-50 of whatever revenue that we generate. And I think that's been my most recent and my best example of a partnership, you know, like actually happening, where we're able to actually bring bring features onto the website which we normally would not be able to actually have unless we get, you know, some huge capital investment. So
let's talk about, I want to clarify the notion of dropshipping. Gareth, can you enter that conversation for us?
Well, maybe what we can do is you can describe your journey through different business models or operating models. And so you started by carrying stock.
Yes.
And that it can only get you so far without you suddenly needing huge amounts of capital to either hold stock or to house stock, to transfer, yes, transport. So how have you grown? And part of it, that is drop shipping. And so to your question, Klubi, I'm not going to answer it. Our guest will answer it. Well, what have you guys done? So you went stock, then how did you expand?
Please. Tell us the evolution.
Yeah. So the business initially started with us holding stock. Okay. And then I think we kind of reached a ceiling, you know, with our capital. So trying to find a way to actually tell this very, very well.
Okay.
Okay. So we reached a ceiling with our capital, and even if we had a capital injection, buying stock and only more stock would have actually meant the death of the business.
Mm.
Because then you buy stock and you got stock sitting there at the warehouse, but then you haven't really invested much of the funds that you're supposed to invest into the business, into your marketing. And for me, marketing should be your number one expense.
Sure.
Okay, when it comes to business. Okay, because because without attracting the right people and without actually, you know, getting people onto your website, you are not gonna grow.
Well, if they don't know your name, they can't visit your store.
Exactly. Yeah. So what we did was actually partner up with some local and overseas companies that actually stock items and warehouse items. Okay, and from those partnerships, that's how we actually developed our dropship model, where people will buy items on our website, and then the purchase orders goes off to those suppliers, and the suppliers either ship the item to us, and then we consolidate goods together and ship it out to customers, or they ship it out to the customers directly.
Yeah, and so that's really what. So you collect orders. The logistics happen somewhere else. So that's really the essence of dropshipping.
That's really the essence of dropshipping. And
is that still your mode of a business at this current time?
We do both. Okay. So what we do now is we have our own stock that we keep.
Okay.
We have our dropship model, which is actually managed by a system. And we also have a consignment basis, mode of similar to dropship, but how that works is, say Shlubi wants to sell goods on our store, and Shlubi doesn't have a warehouse to keep her stock, and Shlubi doesn't have time to pick, wrap, and dispatch items out to customers. What Shlubi does is Shlubi says, "Hey Wale, I wanna sell some my clothing on your store. Okay, can I send my stock? Can I send my stock to you?" Okay, and then we say yes. Shlubi sends the stock to us, and then we sell, we wrap, and we dispatch all the items, and we pay Shlubi for each item that is sold.
Mm.
Okay, so that's the other model that we've actually introduced as well.
Yeah, so Zastra really has this multi-prong approach, which then will be making you last longer. It will give you that sustainable element.
So we try and cover
as much as you can
cover everyone, because not one model fits everyone.
Smart, yeah. Smart, yeah. Smart, smart.
Well, that's what we get when we get smart people in the studio.
Smart.
I'm looking at the time. We only have about a minute and a half left. Let us ask our what do we call it? Our famous question, our usual question, question we ask everyone. If you could go back in time and speak to the 20-year-old you, what would you say to that person, knowing what you know now? What advice would you give them? What guidance would you give them? What would you say to you when you were 20 years old?
So when I was 20 years old, I would tell myself to not always wait for things to be perfect before you actually take actions. Mm-hmm. Okay. And just always strive for progress and always strive for self-improvement. Be diligent, be honest, be ethical, and overall, strive for progress, not perfection.
Fantastic. Yep. Great advice. Yeah. Phoebe, how do you feel about
I'm
this
I'm inspired, and I told you I would be, and thanks for being such a maverick on Future CEOs.
Thank you, Shlubi.
Well, it's great to have you here.
Thanks, Gareth.
Thank you so much.
All right, after the break, we are going to be bringing you a conversation we had quite a while ago with Anthony Farr, the CEO of the Alan Gray Orbis Foundation. That's going to be coming up after the break. We'll see you right after this.
Future CEOs on CliffCentral.com. CliffCentral.com.